from Galatians chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in time past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. Here ends the reading of God's word.
Let's pray. Lord, we humbly beseech thee, O eternal God, who is glorified in heaven by all thy angels and the souls of thy people. We pray, Lord, that thou would grant us the sense of thy nearness and a sense of thy presence, that we would hear and attend to the things preached unto us. Thou hast given us thy word to teach us the things of thee, via thyself. And Lord, by nature we are blind, have deaf ears, and are hardened by heart. But break us, open our hearts, bring us low before thee, that we, like Lydia, might attend at the words preached unto us, and that by the Spirit of thee might be applied to our souls, to set us free from bondage, to bring us to new obedience by love, to unite us with thy Son. Lord, thou hast given us thy ways, and thou hast used this letter many times personally and in history, Martin Luther. Thou hast given him grace to understand these things, to be a reformer of thy church in times of darkness. And we need the same doctrines, Lord, to apply to our souls. We pray that thou would bless us. We thank thee that thou hast spared Henry when he had a shock today two times, and that it was blessed. Thou hast blessed him in the hospital with thy nearness and presence. O Lord, he has a time over. Grace thine. Make him a witness of thee, but thou calls him. We pray, Lord, be with us. Open the scriptures, apply it to our souls. Remember those who are not with us in weakness. We thank thee for all the things thou hast bestowed upon us. We deserve nothing. His grace. Praise the Lord. To thee be the honor and glory forever in thy Son. We have these things for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, we have seen last time that in Galatia, it's a part of Minor Asia, probably descendants, some say from France, others from Germany. The gospel was perverted by false brethren, and they wanted to add to the gospel, to the work of Christ, laws to bind them in their conscience, to go on with the ceremonial law and all kinds of laws, days, we'll see it later, and months. And especially circumcision. If you were not circumcised, they said you couldn't be a Christian. Back to Jewish ceremonial traditions, the traditions of the forefathers. But congregation, if Christ is not only our righteousness, Christ is nothing. There can be a mixture between law, I mean what we do ourselves, and gospel. That's the work of Christ. When he cried out at the cross, it's finished. Paul is defending the righteousness of faith by the work of redemption of the Son of God alone. But the devil is always fighting, and do you know what he did in the congregations of Galatia? He said that Paul was not a true apostle, because the apostles were sent by the Lord Jesus, and they had chosen another one instead of Judas. And there were 12, and Paul was 13. Was he a true apostle? Were it not his doctrines, as he preached Christ as the fulfillment of the law, as the only righteousness for lost sinners, was he an apostle? And they questioned it. And alas, the congregations easily believed it. And if he wasn't a true apostle, how could he preach the truth? Again, the question. So the first thing he does in his first chapter is defending his apostleship, that he had the authority to teach the truth, and how he got it. And we have seen it two times, but now he comes personally. And first he speaks about his preaching. There were accusations, but he speaks and defends his preaching. And then secondly, this night, by his own example. By his own example. So in the first place, He told what he preached against accusations. And secondly, by his own example in life. There were accusations. And one of the accusations was for Stan, for do I now persuade man? I have to translate this in this sense that it said here, do I teach vital man or human things or divine things? What do I do? The people said that the apostle preached human things. If he said that Christ was the fulfillment of the law and that there was only one righteousness that can stand before God, the righteousness of faith, they said that's human. I can say it easily. They said to him, it's light. What does it mean? You can be a sinner. A bad sinner. And yet justified. Holy. How is it possible? Not attending to the law. And yet saved. Not attending to the ceremonial law like our forefathers. And yet, the Christian, child of God, he says, do I teach human things? You are my witnesses. Do I teach wisdom of man? No, I condemn them in the sight of God. Do I teach righteousness of man? No, I condemn them in the sight of the Holy God. Do I teach holiness in flesh? No. They say there is no flesh that can stand before God. Do I teach human things? No, he says, I teach the things of God. Or God, he says. Yes, I teach the things of God. Divine wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Christ is made unto us from God. Wisdom. Righteousness. Sanctification. And redemption. I teach the things of God, divine things, eternal things, holy things. It's the first thing they said. And he addresses it with simple words. They strengthened the accusation by saying that Paul was pleasing man. Isn't it man pleasing? We say that only by repentance and faith in Christ Jesus you will be righteous before God. Instead of all that difficulties, holiness, attendance to the law, the days of separation, the vows to be made, the days to go to the temple. People said he pleases man. That's an easy gospel. But I said, did I please man? He says in verse 11, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. You know what's after man? Like I said, my catechism class in Staffhorst, one young girl, and I said it before, but I bring it to your remembrance. When I said, dear children, you can be saved only by grace alone. And that's not according or kata human. That's not according kata anthropu. That's not according to man. I say, well, because you want to know and want to do something for it, isn't it? And one pointed his finger in the air and said, Pastor, Domine, I would like to pay some money for it. And have a savings account for it. He said, I can understand you. But then I have a question for you. Would you like to pay $10,000 or guilders or $100,000? You know what the girl said? He said, $100,000 guilders. I would like to pay for it. Casey, and now it's free. First kind says, on the marketplace of free grace, not many buyers. If there is no place and no price, you know? If it's free, it seems to be worth it. But if you can pay something for it, we don't like to carry or wear clothes which were free, is it? You know what you like? Expensive clothes. They might be in a less shape, but you like it if they're expensive. Then you can say to people, listen, I paid this and that for it. And a special hand designed it. Human. You know what we want to do with the gospel? Pay for it. Tears. Yes, isn't God working in the way of tears? He is. But you can't put them on the way scale. It's free. Without price. Without money. Wine and milk for thirsty sinners. I believe if the gospel was dead, there was more attendance here. If the gospel was this, creep 10 times around to church and you will be in heaven, they would start. Peter did it. Luther did it. He went on his knees on the chairs of the St. Peter in Rome and he couldn't attend heaven. It condemned him. He whipped his back. It didn't help him. The more he did, the less peace he had. Brethren, you know, we are created in the covenant of works. And there is one thing that pleases us, to do some work, to be saved. And if we can do some work, we can hold it in our own hands to be saved. Can you see what I mean? But I've seen people convicted of the Lord when they lost the law. They started to be hopeless. But so you're prepared for the grace of Jesus Christ. Salvation without the works of law. Only to a true faith, by a true faith. Jesus. So it's not pleasing man. The cross is not pleasing man. We are accustomed to it. Crucified Savior. But think about it. Crucifixion means condemnation, curse. A cursed Savior is the strength of the faith. What the false apostles said to Paul, they said that he pleased man. Do you know what Paul now says? That the false apostles pleased man. come to a hospital and you ask, how are you doing? How's your soul for eternity? Then they stop. Pastor, I did. Pastor, I left. Pastor, Domine, that's what I did. No more. Nothing more. No, you're lost. Only by faith in Jesus Christ that you're saved. That's pleasing man. And I always sorry. I've seen in my ministry always attacked by leaving no room for flesh. They don't want it. In my last congregation, a young man who was converted, Peter Westerlach, giving name to his man. When I came first to the congregation, he said, you know what I wanted to do? Pull you from the pulpit. Because you said salvation is doing nothing. Being saved by sovereign grace in Christ. Anger myself, he said. And sometimes congregation, I stirred it up. I said, but I stay here. It's without works. Only for a prodigal son by the sacrifice of the Lamb. And can you see when you rest in the law, it's hard to listen to this. But the Pharisees crucified Jesus because of this. I don't please man. I don't please human pride. God is seeking lost sinners. Not half-converted man. Not covenant people resting in their covenant saying we are Abraham's seed. Only lost one. Having nothing that's sin. And only one righteous. The beloved Savior of God took me out of the miry clay, set me upon a rock, made my way steadfast. That's grace. Oh man, how are you easily deceived? And they put you something in your fingers, but it's only dross, worth nothing. If it's not Christ Jesus, then Him crucified alone. Don't be deceived, right or left, that you should bring something into the drop of a pail. Free grace. Do I please man? Now I have a question. Have you had, in the short time that I am here, have you had sometimes that you thought, I don't like it? Congratulations. You could have heard the truth. Probably for the first time. I'm not saying that my mind is, but that's not what I mean. Reverend Fender Group, he wrote some books. He said, you know, if God is really converting you, you'll feel your flesh resisting all grace. Paul did it. We see the example later on. But enemies are reconciled by God through Jesus Christ. Though I said, you know that I didn't please flesh. You know it, he says to the Galatians. You know it. You have experience. And if I did it, I shouldn't be a servant of Christ. And he means this, I am persecuted of this gospel, chased from city to city. But I'm a servant of Christ. He is crucified and I will be crucified. That's it. Some people think they can be servants of Christ and experience the favor of man. You can't. They will hate you, reject you, despise you, be of good comfort. They have done to me, says Christ, and they will do it to you. It's a sign. We always want to have signs of true conversion, you know? But we don't like scares, and don't like hits, and don't like things which attack us. I had an elder in Doornspijk. An enemy sent him a ladder, and they even sent him a coffin. With a ladder on it, and the man brought a coffin and a ladder with it, and in the ladder stood that they wished him to be in the coffin and to be dead. An elder. It's a child of God. And then he said to me the next Sunday, what happened in the week? And I said, listen, it's a medal of your dear Lord and Savior. He was crucified. Put it on your jacket. And praise the Lord. There are not many with these matters. Not many. Most like to please man. You know? If you're a minister, after a while you know every member. No, it's a small congregation. But if you have 600, like in Hascom, 650, you know all the people. Some are a bit skeptic and others are against. But yeah, they stick always to their old places and not easily go away. And others were full of enmity, and I knew it. And one of the great things, congregation, for a minister is to be freed from the knowledge and the persuasions and the dictates of man. It brings to slavery. We shouldn't fear. But with boldness preach Christ for a lost sinner. Now that's what Paul said. He said, I'm the servant of Christ. I'm persecuted, chased from city to city because of the cross. I have no excellency of peace. Wait. You know what he says? That he rejoiced in his weaknesses. He had no excellency of peace. In those days, the Greek were training people to speak with excellency. It's one of the great things you had to do on the university. Teach how to preach with excellency. Nice words. Nice words. Do you know what Paul said? I didn't walk with these ways. I didn't use, I don't know, see, Flammstreikend. I don't know what's the matter, doesn't matter. But I don't know, and I didn't use these words, bold, plain, simple. We can have a nice story, but you are sinners going to eternity. You need to be saved, and you don't know tomorrow, a day, another day. You don't know. I don't know. There's a minister. On a day, he said, he had a nice story. He said, I hope to go on next week. Do you know what happened in Chicago? Happened in Chicago. Whole the city went up in flames. And the congregation wasn't there anymore. And then he was guilty. But he had said, I hope to see you another week. My dear friends, are you ready to die to meet God? Or are you an enemy of sovereign grace? Are you on your way to Damascus to fight the people of God? because of your zealous interest in the law that you're doing, believing. He had the power of the Spirit, the convicting power of the Spirit, the convicting of sin and of the righteousness of Christ. He had not the applause of the masses. Oh, heaven! He preached on the Areopagus in Athens. You know what happened? People said, come, let's hear the babbler. And then he spoke about the resurrection of death. They said, stop it, not. Next time more. Do you know what happened? 2 or 3 believed. There he went. And then he preached in the congregation of Galatia. Do you know what happened? Sometime in false apostles came and said, you're deceived by Paul. He says that you don't need to circumcise anymore and to keep the ceremonial laws. You're deceived by the man. He didn't write the letter. Oh, ye little flock, it's the favor of God to give you the kingdom of God. Of many wise, of many prudent, to those who are nothing, as God elected for his glory. And I'm not saying this because we are not many, but the church of God is not many in this world. Many are called, sure. You don't like it. See it? You don't like it. It's a divine truth. You know what we like? Many chosen, few called. We don't like the sovereign dealings of God. We want to deal with God. And we don't like if God deals with us. We want to judge the divine things. But we don't want to be judged by the divine, eternal God. Or do you? Do you? Are you brought low? Sinner. Surrendering. The one desire. To know God. In grace. You are my witnesses, he said. You are my witnesses. I didn't believe, man. You have experienced it. You know how you preach. Weak. You know. Because the gospel is not according to man or after man. Paul says, I didn't write a gospel. And I didn't get it second hand or perverted it. Never. I learned it of Christ. And then he says it in a special way, like we said Saturday or Sunday night. He said, religion, Christian religion, is a religion of revelation. One thing I found out when we investigated the inner city evangelism work. You have to pick up people from the street, disciple them, bring them into church, and then they will be converted at the end. And I'm not saying that the Lord can deal with people in a slow way. But I didn't read in the Bible that Zacchaeus had to be discipled. Did? You know what he did when he was converted? He knocked at every door and he said, I've sinned, I want to pay back. He was bold. Have you read that Levi had to be drawn with his ears to follow the Lord Jesus? Have you read it? No! And he followed him on his way. He left everything behind. Do you know what the Lord Jesus said? If you follow me and you don't hate your father or your mother, and I mean this, me having the first love, then you're not worthy of me. has to do with true conversions. And Paul is addressing this issue and saying, I first attend the religion of the Jews, and I learned it at the feet of Gamaliel, but I didn't know God. You can have had all the catechism classes. You can know all the truth, says Paul in 1 Corinthians 13. You can know all the truth. You can know the Bible from beginning to end, and Paul knew it. But not knowing Christ by revelation. What does it mean, Christ knowing by revelation? Well, apocalypsis. Now, apocalypsis is, it's hidden by a cover. When it's revealed, the cover is taken away. Now, I have a straight question. Do you know Christ by revelation? Out of his word? Do you know him? I tell you, when I was a young man, and the Lord showed me my sins, you know what I felt? That God was good, and I don't go into details. And I wanted to serve the Lord, but I had always a question. They spoke about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And do you know? I didn't know the difference. You know what I could sing? Psalm 116. For I love the Lord. You heard my voice. But if they spoke about Christ, for me, it's one. Until the Lord condemned me and judged me. And he was my substitute, revealed unto me as my holy righteousness and Savior. Congregation, Paul says, I didn't learn it, I didn't receive it of man, until Christ was revealed in me. And now I have to say something. Because Christ first was revealed in him, and then he was taught the things of Christ. That's the catechism. To know Christ and all his benefits, not the benefits first and then Christ, but Christ and all the benefits. By revelation of Jesus Christ. You can say, the Lord revealed it to me, but on the way to Damascus, Christ was revealed unto him. Paul, Paul, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He had knowledge by all. It's your justification and your sanctification and your wisdom and total redemption. What a day! Where you're burdened and had no hope. That special day when Christ was revealed to your soul and the love of God was poured in your heart, put out in your heart, and the praises went to the heaven again. Yet be broken heart and eternal love. Do you know that day? Be honest. Have you heard his voice? Laid in his arms. Being kissed by him. Experience the love. That's better than the love of women. Congregation, I plead you, unless you know him personally, you have nothing. But he is here today. He's yesterday and today and forever the same. what he did to Paul, he can do to you, young man, in the back row. He can do to you. In congregation, we don't need to walk the ways of Paul exactly and go and as an enemy behind the children of God. Although everyone should have experienced some of these things. Can be in church, if you come to the ministry on that Lord's Day, you heard his voice, you saw his beauty, and you believed in him and was set free. So, congregation, he got his knowledge by the revelation of Jesus Christ to his soul. And then the second thing, second point of the ministry this evening, he was an example himself of enmity and grace. He says, he had a false brethren, he said, but I was a Jew. I was more or less the same. You heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion. How did I beyond measure persecuted the church of God and wasted it? He says, I was an enemy of grace. I knew it. I persecuted the congregation and wanted to ruin it. I did it. I know the false brethren. I was one of them. And I profited in the Jewish religion above many of my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly jealous in the tradition of my fathers. I said I was one of the best. At the feet of Gamaliel, I was a Jew. He had a pleasure in it that Stephen was stoned to death. He liked it. I know these men, he said. I know these men. I know the enmity against sovereign grace. I know it. By experience. The hatred. But, and then you see in those two verses, 15 and 16, how God deals with enemies. But, that's grace, but. We set a point. God says, but. This is a text against Arminians. Arminians always say that they have to accept the Lord Jesus. But Paul didn't accept Jesus. Jesus accepted Paul as an enemy. He didn't want it. He was beaten down by the holiness of God's floor. The ground was way to Damascus. But listen what he says. And I have to say something to every one of us, converted and not converted. But it pleased God. You know what he says? He says, it was in the good pleasure of God. Now, what's the good pleasure of God? That's the eternal purpose of God with every man. Paul retracts his way to eternity. But it pleased God. There was a good pleasure with God concerning me. When did it start? In eternity. You know that God's love is from eternity to eternity, and that God doesn't accept the face of man. Some people say to me, David was a man according to the heart of God. And then I asked, why? Now he did this and he did that, and he was certain he was so said wrong. David was a man according to the heart of God, loved by God from eternity. Before he had done evil or good, Paul was a man designed by God
to be saved and an apostle. Congregation, that's the comfort for a Christian. That there it starts in eternity. Secondly, it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb. Do you know what it means, the word separated? He set the boundaries. God set the boundaries. God set the boundaries for the life of Paul. We think sometimes that we can walk where we want. We can't. God set and sets the boundaries for every one of us, evil or good. But do you know what Paul says? He set from eternity, from his mother's womb, the boundaries. And there was only one way he could go. Known or unknown. God is dealing with his elect before he converts them. That's what Paul's saying. From my mother's womb. Now I want to say something. If God has a purpose for your life, everything of your life works together for good. If you were in prison or not, everything of your life works together for good if God sanctifies your life. You have always to look to your past to know your present. I was a salesman and I had my own business in air conditioning and air heating. Part of a bigger business. And it worked together for good. How to deal with people in everyday life and talk. And I knew that the business flourished. I had 15 people employed. And I know every day that one, I had to quit it. When the Lord would go on, I had a call to the ministry when I was 12 years old. But do you know what I wanted? To have money and glory in life and honor. But I know. But all the things of my past, God used in my present. Who separated me from my mother's womb. But he didn't know God. But God knew him. He says, do you know where you're going to? To the school of Gamaliel. Theological school in Jerusalem. You go there. You know what we would say today? A school of Phariseeism and liberalism. Sadducees and the Pharisees. And he studied there many years. He knew the Bible, text by text, and the doctrines of the scriptures according to the Pharisees. Do you know why he needed to know him? To fight in Galatians the false brethren. The Lord gave us with the Reverend Rose, a friend of mine in Dornspike. The Lord gave us to study on a liberal university. Do you know why? To know the liberals by heart, and to address the liberal theology, and not to surrender a little bit, but be steadfast in a liberal environment.
Hey, Pastor, you're bold and high-minded. No, I'm not. I didn't like it there. But the Lord changed me for the ministry He brought us in, even today. Paul says on a certain place that he knew the tricks of Satan. There are many people today, they don't even know what the liberal teach and what a liberal says. And they have their own little circle, and they are not the salt and the light of the world. They say, let the people perish. Doesn't matter. They're all gone. But I don't think this is the way. You know, the apostles had to preach in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, to the ends of the world. And Paul knew. He knew the Bible. He was zealous. It's all in the purpose of God. Everything of your past, if you're a true Christian, is purposed by God. And you don't see it probably now. But later on you see it. Even you're fallen in sin. Pastor, how do you dare to say it? You know what Paul, Peter, what Jesus said to Peter when he fell in sin? He says, once when you are converted, strengthen your brethren by grace. He was a man of law. And he had to fall in sin to preach the gospel of sovereign grace. Is passed to you. Once when you're converted, strengthen your brother, he said. And congregation, especially those who fear the Lord, I want you this evening to look back to your life. What's your human experience? Where were you drawn? What are your friends? What's your knowledge? And if we have to reach out in this small congregation to the neighborhood, what's your calling? What are the people you can meet easily? People from prison? Blue-collar people? Knowing their environment? Or are you strangers in Jerusalem? Strangers of the life of everyone. Separated me from my mother's wife. Well, isn't it wondrous? Pastor, can God be in my life if I don't know yet? By providence, everything, every step, every sound, all things work together for good in the life of those who are called by God. Separated me. Paul looked back and he saw the dealings of God in his life, even if he didn't know Him. False religion, Phariseeistic, and called me by His grace. Now, if God has a sovereign plan of your life and He deals with you, He comes to call you, He calls you by grace. Effectively, you hear His voice, and you're called with power out of the darkness to His marvelous light. If you're a church member or not, you have to be effectively called. By law and God. We're all called, Pastor. Yes, we're all called. But there is a difference between outward calling only of the gospel and an inward effective calling by word and spirit. Out of the darkness, that call will you be
obeyed and follow with tears and humbling grace. We'll be drawn out of the darkness to his marvelous light. God is calling you. You can say, some say this is regeneration. It's effective calling. It's the calling to God and to Christ. Like the Lord Jesus called Paul on the way to Damascus, Saul, Saul, why persecute you me? Congregation, we need to be called. We're all called. No one can say he's not called. There I start this night again. Going through this text verses, no one can say he's not called. But by nature we're deaf and willing, not surrendering, fighting. But if God calls a man, I tell you in history, my first congregation, Liverpool. There's a man sitting for the window every Sunday. And he opens the curtains. And he starts playing cards. Do you know for what reason? To anger the churchgoers. And he starts playing cards to anger them. But on a day, he couldn't do it anymore. And he became sad and unhappy, had no peace. His wife was always going to church. And you know what his wife said? He wasn't playing cards anymore on Sunday morning. He said, do you know what you need? Going to church. Next Sunday. You know what you need? Going to church. And the third Sunday, he told me personally, his wife rose early and she said, do you know, you need to go to that big church, that old Reformed church. It was a building of 1100. He said, you need to go, he said. He said, do you know what I did? I had to go with every step, every flagstone. I fought and I stepped and I came and I sat in the pew on the balcony, the last pew. And there came a little domine. I even could name his name, but I don't. He was yet a student. And he started to preach. And he knew everything of me. And it was pierced in my heart. I crept under the pew. And I struggled to come out of the church. And I came home. And I fell before the bench of my wife for the coach. And I said, oh God, I've sinned. Can I ever be saved? And God saved me. Listen, if God calls you, you can't reject. You don't need to be drawn by ears and by nose to come on. You don't need it. He works irresistible. You know, you go to church in those times, eh? And every Sunday is something for you. God speaks to you personally. You eat and drink and are merry. You're happy. But sometimes you eat raw beans. You don't know what you eat, but it doesn't matter. You have the best time of your life. If you know something more, you have worse times. You say, pastor is not preaching this and that and that and such and so. God is calling. God is calling. Effectually. Out of darkness. To himself. Now, I believe there's someone in our midst who knows what this is, but is stuck. There is someone stuck in our midst. Pastor, there's someone stuck. How do you know it, Pastor? And someone is here sitting and saying, Pastor, probably it's a hard work. You know, sometimes it's stuck because you grieve the Spirit. There are things in your life to be dealt with. And today that needs to be dealt with. Otherwise, it can't go on. You have to ask in Psalm 139, Lord, search me. If there's an evil way, bring me on the way everlasting. How is your family life? How is your marriage life? Are there hidden sins? Are you grieved the Spirit? How's your financial life? It can be brought into birth and nothing be born yet. Bound by ties of law, of fear. Now, why do you say this? I don't know. God knows. But call. Factually, by His grace, He said, it's grace. He took me out. It's grace. It's grace only, mercy. To reveal His Son in me, and that's the whole gospel, to reveal His Son in me. And I can't go in extensive into it. I can. But one thing is this. What did Paul say? Christ gave me life, or Christ is my life? Many say Christ gave me life. They are in the center. A living Christian. And some know I am dead, but Christ is my life. Some know. Some know. I am crucified, dead and buried. But in the resurrection, He is my life. And if He is your life, His righteousness is your righteousness. His holiness is your holiness. His redemption is your redemption. Congregation is Christ becoming your life. Having no life than the life which is in Christ. Does He reveal His Son in me? You want to know more about Him? You have a desire to be with Him? Love Him. You experience His nearness and His love, His whispering voice, and His tender mercy. And His comfort, His humbling grace when you went astray, His knocking at your door. Comforting and discerning. If Christ is my life, I'm dead to the law and living in Him. And even if I die, I'll live. But if you believe in Christ Jesus, ye have eternal life. What's the life eternal? Christ lives in me. And He's raised from the dead. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And can you see if Christ has fulfilled the law? What do I need to do? If Christ is my sanctification, how holy do I need to be? Tell me. Christ has obeyed the Father, living in me. I tell you, do you know what Luther says? You can stand it probably. Hear what Luther says? I'm living in sin and yet righteous. Pastor, then you don't know what's Christ living in you. When He cried out at the cross, it's finished. Oh, surely He sends His Spirit to make you conform to His image. But the only foundation to stand before God is Christ and all His benefits. For one reason, Christ was revealed in Him that He should preach the gospel. gospel. Among the heathen immediately. Preach him. And you know what happened when he was converted in Damascus the other day? He preached.
Why?
He preached Christ. His mouth and heart was full of Christ. And they hated him immediately. They sent him in a basket down the wall, and he fled for his life. First, he was a persecutor. Immediately when he got to know Christ, he was persecuted. And he fled. And he preached. Until that last day, and I'm stopping now, that he confirmed the truth, being a martyr of Jesus. Martyr is witness, being a martyr of Jesus. He confirmed the truth he had preached, being beheaded. Last sermon had the most strength. How do you know better? We can easily preach the gospel, but when it costs us something, and if it's not the truth, we abandon it. But if Christ is our life, death is gain. Is it? So his last sermon. Sermon was, I had not my life, I loved not my life to the end, but I loved my Savior. Congregation, he could stand in the trial with the Galatians because his own life was an example of enmity and grace, of sovereign grace and eternal joy. And now us. How are we used in our families? Do we know Christ personally? Reveal that to us. Or do we have only a faith? Many have a faith of providence. You have only a miraculous faith, providence. This and that. No Christ. Others have a temporal faith. They received it with joy. Never in debt. Never from them. Never hopeless. Never Christ's truth. Hebrews 6, 4 and 4. Tasted the word of God. But if you listen carefully, Hebrews 6, which says, Christ isn't in it. Christ isn't in it. It's some feelings. But no revelation of Christ. No knowledge of it. Congregation, I know it's a searching preaching. But not because I hate you. I love you. God knows. I love you. And I want who wants to stand before God, clothed with Christ, having nothing than sin, but washed away, renewed in the image of the dear Savior, Jesus Christ. You can know the truth. Thank thee for thy grace and thy words. And Paul was an example, he said, for those who will afterwards believe in Christ. He made himself an example, he said, if much like this, then it's not true. can be different ways and different families where we're born, different paths. But we ask thee that thou would use in thy children their past for the time now in the ministry they are to live up with. We pray for those who are not true converted, set them free. Use thy words for them. And we pray for those who struggle, and sometimes they think and other times they despair. Set them free. Sever the bonds. Give them to die and to live. Die to self, live unto thee. Thank thee for this opportunity in thy house to hear thy words. And thou art so great, so loving, so caring, so great. Thou gavest thy son, and O son, thou gavest thyself. And the cross to be cursed, that cursed sinners, might be ever and everlasting to thee. Be with us and forgive us our weaknesses in preaching and hearing, and if there was enmity, silence it by thy love. We ask.